Jeff, after about 60 years, nearly 60 years, Buffalo is working to rewrite their zoning code here in the city of Buffalo. Why is this such an important issue now?
It's an important issue now because it's been 60 years. It's been 60 years since we looked at our zoning code comprehensively. It's been 40 years since there's been any substantive changes to it. Our zoning code, it's really a restrictive code. It's kind of a negative document that says what you can't do. This effort, Buffalo Green Code, is trying to update that with a more sort of modern idea of basing your code on what you want a neighborhood to look like and feel like and how you want it to function. It's a more of a positive code. It's called form-based coding, and the idea is that rather than basing your code on uses, you instead talk to residents, you talk to developers, you talk to government, you talk to planners and say, what do we want this block to look like and feel like? What do we want it to do? And you build a code, a description of that street, that block, that neighborhood that makes it look like that. So when a developer comes, he gets in one place, one sort of simple to understand code, the things he's got to do to match the plan for that neighborhood. What he does inside, the uses he puts that building to, it's much more flexible, changeable. It's really how the outside of the building interacts with its neighboring buildings and with its street and its sidewalk and how a block relates to the block next to it, et cetera, that the zoning code, the new zoning code, will concern itself with.
How will this new code, though, fit with a well-established city like Buffalo, an older city that already has its neighborhoods pretty well set?
The way to look at it, I think, is the zoning code's relationship to it, to the city's master plan. The city has a pretty good master plan called the Queen City Hub Plan. And if you think of the city as sort of this living organism, this evolving living thing, the master plan is sort of how you envision it growing into the future, what you imagine it to be 20, 30, 50 years from now. And the zoning code is sort of the DNA that guides the growth toward that vision of the city that you have. So a master plan is necessarily going to incorporate our understanding of the city historically, what the historic neighborhoods are, what they have been, what we want them to be, what they are now, which is often quite at odds with what we imagine them to have been. If you look at certain historical neighborhoods on the east side or in South Buffalo, they've changed very dramatically from what they once were. Certainly our downtown has, surrounded as it is now by transportation infrastructure. The master plan is really where you sort of figure out this historical sense of what neighborhoods are and whether you want them to continue to be that or to grow in a different way. The zoning code helps you achieve what it is you imagine the city ought to be.
I can see how this would be a benefit to developers as far as they're envisioning what they're able to do with projects that they're involved in. How will this affect the general population, the general public here in Buffalo?
Well, I think in surprising ways. I think people often see things they don't like about the way the city is developed. Maybe they don't like the way gas stations are developed on corners. Maybe they don't like setback drugstores. Maybe they don't like, various sort of elements in their experience of the cityscape or in their experience as residents of the city. And they may think that has to do with the city's declining population or its economic stagnation or any of the other list of ills that we pull out our hair about. And in fact, often it's a zoning issue. So there's that. And I think a simplified zoning code, which this green code promises to be, might have some positive impacts on people's sort of quality of life as development moves forward in the city. The other thing is, of course, it's not just developers who have to wrestle with this complicated zoning code that we have now. It's homeowners. If you want to put a porch on your house, it can be a real nightmare just going through the process of getting the permits you need.
Right.
If nothing else, this green code promises to make a much more user-friendly experience for everybody, for developers who want to invest in the city, for homeowners who already are invested in the city. The great hope is that rather than having to navigate a nightmare of contradictory codes, you'll have a simple and easy-to-understand document, an easy-to-obtain permit, and there you go.
Brendan Mahaffey, who is with the Strategic Planning Commission at City Hall, who is overseeing this rewriting, has mentioned that the Green Code, the hope of the Green Code, is to make Buffalo a less car-dependent city, a more pedestrian-friendly, a more mass transit-oriented city. How do we achieve that after we've moved completely in the other direction? And for that matter, City Hall is not the only decision maker in that. We have the NFTA to consider
That's the tricky part. The city can put together the most enlightened plan in the world. They can designate, you know, certain parts of the city as sort of transportation hubs, you know, places where you know, hypothetical trains and bus routes will empty out passengers, and they can say to developers, look at this. This is a good place to pour in some investment. They can adhere to our new complete streets legislation, which dictates that if you rebuild a street, you've got to give equal consideration to pedestrians and bicyclists as to cars. You can do all that, and we should, and it's great. But we are not, in the end, the planning agency that decides where public transportation is going to go or in what form. We're not the city does not get to decide whether the NFTA is going to lobby for the millions and millions of dollars it would take to expand the metro rail system. Really, in the end, the NFTA has to do that. Our state delegation has to do that. So the city can and should plan for a sort of public transportation friendly city, one that attracts investment based on the route, the corridors where our mass transit goes. But we need a little help.
When is this Green Code supposed to be finalized? When are we supposed to have this sort of plan comprehensively done?
The second stage of the writing of this plan was kicked off last week with a big sort of public hearing. There will be a series of neighborhood public hearings in June, 9 of them, I believe, to gather feedback on what has been written so far in the last year. And then, I believe, in the fall, they'll incorporate that public feedback into the document, make amendments, and then move forward from there.
Okay, so we've got a little time there. Something that's not necessarily more pressing, but certainly current, is the development and the reuse, potentially, of the Trico building. And there's been some, I don't know if I want to say progress, but conversation about that.
Well, a new conversation is about to begin this coming Thursday. There is a meeting, what has been called a preservation roundtable, by the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, which is the designated developer of Trico, the one that has been, to some degree or another, pursuing at least partial and possibly full demolition of the building in order to redevelop that site. Back in January, they gathered together a group of experts to discuss their plans and to look at alternatives to demolition. One of the participants in that plan is developer Doug Swift. He has now been commissioned by the medical campus to guide a study, a reuse and feasibility study for the Trico building, which would include the possibility of not demolishing it. This is a study that the medical campus was initially completely uninterested in pursuing. So to some degree, that's a victory for preservationists. Other preservation groups, I think, will not take part in this planning process, these future discussions, in part because they think they are a sham.
There is the potential of that building getting landmark status, though, which would give...
Local landmark status, yes. It's currently on the national and state registers. Local landmark status gives the city's preservation board a little more say over what happens with the building. Although it should be added that the city has a great deal to say about the future of the Trico building anyway, because the Trico building is owned by the city, by a city agency called the Buffalo Brownfield Restoration Corporation. When the medical campus purchased the building, it immediately transferred that section, the giant iconic structure that we're talking about, to the city agency, because they didn't want the liability for it, and they didn't have any plans to redevelop it immediately.
Now, Rocco Termini has had an interest in this building, certainly of late. Is he involved in what will be these new conversations?
He certainly is. Rocco Termini is very much involved. He is very publicly offered to take over redevelopment of the building. He says if you give him 2 years to come up with a plan, He will come up with a plan and with financing. In part, I think Termini is using this crisis of the Trico building's future as an opportunity to lobby state government to increase the amount of historic preservation tax credits available to developers. Right now there's a cap, and he wants that to be raised so that big, expensive historic preservation projects like the Trico building become more economically feasible. And he was joined by pretty much Buffalo's entire state delegation. All the legislators were there echoing Rocco's comments.
Well, that could be good for Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got a lot of old buildings.
That's true. That's true. Jeff, thank you again for stopping by. I appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.